Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Dr. Siobhan Chidley for Ask the GP, where you can throw your questions into us on 087 1400 106. 087 1400 106. Siobhan, welcome to the programme and thanks very much indeed for popping in. The first thing that I want to put to you, I did an interview with Andrea on this programme the week before last about a journey that I've been through with prostate cancer. And I explained how it was discovered by complete accident, no symptoms, no nothing. How do men go about getting checked for prostate issues, even if they don't have? It's something that is recommended that men do and not enough do.
Yes, it's difficult to get men to go and get checked about anything. And I suppose it's quite typical that there's no symptoms and you go in for something entirely incidental. So what it's important that you go in and you talk to your GP, because when you talk to your GP, they do pick up on little symptoms that you may not think are linked. And then there's an examination, a digital examination with the finger, checking out the prostate. And then there's a blood test. And then you look at the two of those things. And then sometimes you get sent, depending on the results of the blood test and the examination of the prostate, you can get sent for an MRI scan and then they look at that. But prostate cancer has become a very, it's a spectrum now, as opposed to it is or it isn't. So it's very important to have an idea of what your baseline is, what the baseline prostate does feel like, be aware of symptoms of prostate problems, you know, and it's very important to keep linked with your GP. It's like most things, men's health. Men tend not to link in, and that's a problem.
And I was that soldier, I'll be honest. I wouldn't ever have gone to get checked only for a coincidental thing that my PSA was spotted to be slightly elevated. But at what age should men go and get checked?
Well, definitely from 50 onwards. But if they've got symptoms under 50, always pop into your GP, because, you know, it's not to say that prostate cancer only occurs at 50 and above, but they do say at 50, go and get a full check. Get your blood pressure checked. Get the HbA1c checked. Get the cholesterol checked.
And then don't stick your head in the sand, because...
No, exactly. And then just have that chat and look at the lifestyle, because one can tolerate a little bit of poor lifestyle in one's 20s and 30s, maybe one's 40s. But when one hits 50, you have to sort of make changes. And when you make the changes, things happen. And look what's happened to you. And the outcome would probably be great with it.
Okay, let's move on then. I have just discovered, says this message, I have an 11-centimeter ovarian cyst, non-cancerous, waiting on a gynae referral. Is surgery likely?
Yes, surgery at that sort of size is likely, but it's difficult. Again, with everything, there's no definite surgery has to be done here and not have to be done there. It'll depend on the symptoms that the person is experiencing, what the size of the cyst is at the time of when they go to the gynae clinic, because cysts do change in size. But an 11-centimeter cyst in principle possibly might need some surgery, yes.
Okay, the next question then is there anything I can do to help shin splints? I'm a keen runner and I'm going mad not being able to get out for a run.
Well,
are that soldier.
I'm that soldier. But to be honest, shin splints are a very, very, very tricky one. With most,
what are shin splints?
It's a medial tibial stress syndrome. That's its big medical name. And what it is when it's basically a pressure on the tibia, on the medial side, the inside part of the tibia. And it's almost as if little cracks are occurring in the tibia with the muscles slightly pulled off the tibia. It's an overload in injury, and there's very few sports injuries that you actually have to stay off it. Shin splints is one of them, and you absolutely have to stay off it. Some people can be in a boot to keep them quiet. So people who are obsessed with going off running, it's not going to work. And the problem is with shin splints, if you don't respect the shin splint, it can end up in a stress fracture. And if you get a stress fracture, then you're 12 weeks off running. So what I would suggest to that person is really, really look at other ways to keep your mind active. It's possible, depending on the degree of the shin splint and how severe the pain is, talking to the physio would be important, because you could walk in the pool. Walking in the pool might help. The physio might be able to give some exercises in terms of increasing the load. It would be important, if that person is female, to make sure that their DEXA scan has been looked at and that they don't have any sort of bone issues underlying the shin splints. But the short answer is, off it when you have a shin splint.
Okay, now, here, have a listen to this one. A few weeks ago, someone stood on my toe while wearing heels. The big toenail is all black and sore. Should I go and get it seen to?
The red flag for that, I suppose it's difficult to know again with how many weeks is it? You know, if it's a week, of course it's going to be sore and bruised and bleeding. If it's 5 weeks, you know, that changes things. It shouldn't be sore at that stage. A toenail takes an awful long time to fall off. It could be 8, 10, 12 weeks before the toenail itself falls off. So the actual looking black, you wouldn't be too worried about. The fact that it's sore, if it's still sore in terms of she can't weight bear or anything like that on it, well, then it needs to be looked at. But it's the pain really that's the issue. It's how painful it is.
Okay, now the next message is, I keep getting itchy bumps. They look like insect bites, but they keep reappearing. I haven't been out anywhere that you'd expect insect bites. What could be causing this and how would I get rid of them?
There's a couple of things that could be causing it. Getting rid of them, firstly, you'd want to try an antihistamine. That would be the first thing. You'd want to know what's causing it. If it's a simple allergy, an antihistamine should solve it. But if it's looking like insect bites, have they been staying anywhere? Is there a possibility there could be scabies? Scabies looks like insect bites. It's incredibly itchy. They do produce sort of random bites going up, not to make the listener worry. But I think when you get sort of random things coming up and down and you're not exactly sure of the diagnosis, it's important to get a GP just to have a look at it and to make sure that it is something simple.
Okay, very good. Now, next message says, I have to get my gallbladder out next week. I'm in my 30s and active. I'm the sixth person I've heard of having this operation in the past year. Why is it so common? I assume this is related to gallstones, is it?
Yes, it's usually, I mean, it is gallstones that makes you have the gallbladder out. Why is it so common? Isn't it that humans hunt what they're looking at? It's like if you want to get a new car and suddenly you decide, you see that car everywhere you want to buy it. So the fact that this listener is having their gallbladder out, is it not that it's a topical discussion, therefore they're hearing that it's more common? Because having a gallbladder out is quite a common thing. It is... In the 30s, not really. It's not so common in your 30s. It's more people in their 40s and above. But I think the fact that this listener is having their gallbladder out, possibly people are aware so that they're saying to them, look, this person's had it, this person's had it. Diet has a big effect on gallbladders. We do have a higher fat diet than we used to. We're not eating what, you know, we're supposed to eat. We're not eating the natural things anymore. So maybe it's linked with that. It's difficult to know, but I would suggest that it's more because the listener is having the gallbladder out. People are talking about it to that particular listener.
All right. Now, glands are up under my armpit. I only felt them yesterday. What does that mean?
That's something that the listener needs to keep an eye on. If there's a little infection there or there's an infected hair follicle, that would make the glands go up. Is it both sides? Are they painful? What do they feel like? How long have they been there? These are all they're quite important questions. I think that's quite difficult to answer just off a one-liner like that. If they persist, definitely they need to be looked at.
Okay. Now, I had a bad stomach bug back at the beginning of March. Now, since then, I've been unable to get my gut back to normal. Frequent bouts of diarrhea keep occurring. I've been taking probiotics and even got an allergy test to remove intolerances from my diet. I do suffer with health anxiety and am fixated on my stomach and bowel habits, which may not be helping. Have you any advice, please?
I think the listeners hit the nail on the head. The fixation with the stomach and the bowel is not going to help. That's the first thing. I think that the second thing is, if you have had a stomach bug, was it definitely a stomach bug, or was it something like the gut microbiome is out of sync or out of whack? If she has health anxiety, I always think it's better to name what the anxiety that the listener has the problem with. Find out, do you have that disorder? And if you don't, then move on to the next step and try and look at how to manage anxiety.
All right, now we have a few more. I suffer with chronic OCD. What can I do about it?
OCD is a very, very difficult condition to manage. And I think, I'm sure if the listener has chronic OCD, that would say to me that it has been diagnosed and people are trying to manage it with them. But mindfulness and mechanisms to deal with anxiety on a daily basis are important. It's very, there's no sort of quick fix with OCD. I mean, there are medications, there is counselling. It's something that would have to be dealt with if it's chronic. I'm not sure what the listener means by chronic. Do they mean severe, that they can't function, or chronic, that they've had it for all their life? And I would suggest that it's something they do need to go and speak to their GP about.
Okay, two more questions. The first one is, my 16-year-old son has had a congested sinus for 6 months, constant blocked nose and occasional sneezing. Antihistamines don't seem to help. Should we get him checked by an allergy expert or an ear, nose and throat specialist? We have two dogs, 8 years old, but the complaint has only presented recently, so no other pets and no rugs or flowers changed in the house.
From the sounds of things, it sounds like it's a one-sided sinus issue. Any one-sided sinus blockage, definitely you need to have that looked at by somebody. An ear, nose and throat specialist would be the first port of call rather than an allergy specialist, because if there's something like a polyp in one side of the nose, that could cause the problem. And if it's both sinuses and it's polyps in both sides of the nose, an ear, nose and throat specialist would be first. I'd say that would be first rather than an allergy person, just to make sure that there's nothing structural causing it.
All right. And then finally, final question. I am a man of 51 with intermittent pain in the groin and left side of my lower torso. Sometimes groin is itchy. Any advice would be helpful.
That couldn't be discussed over the phone. I think that would have to be looked at, because I'm not sure, is there a skin issue going there? Is there a hernia? Is there a testicular issue? That would definitely be something that listener would have to go and get an assessed. And being a man, I would suggest that they do go and do it and don't put their head in the sand.
As per our conversation at the very start. Dr. Siobhan Chidley, thank you very much indeed for joining us for Ask the GP today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.